kind of taking a little different direction this evening. And I've been thinking about this for a while, and it occurred to me earlier this week that this might be really redundant and really repetitious. And I think that I got to thinking, though, that it might just be that to me and probably to Patrick, because maybe a couple of you have only heard about this maybe once or twice or three times. But I was thinking, you know, considering all the visits, the elder visits that we've done, and Patrick and I talking and scheming together and talking with Roger and all, we've probably talked a bit about this no less than 50 times over the last 5 months. And so in my head, I'm thinking, man, we just always talk about this. And it's possible then that you might be thinking the same thing, but I'm going to go with the idea that maybe you haven't even heard it before. And it has to do with the direction that we are going as a congregation, that we intend on going, and we intend for all of you to be going there along with Patrick and I. And so today was actually the first of this next quarter in the teaching program. Classes are a little bit different this morning, or the adult class, a little different this morning. It's going to be a little different next quarter, in the winter quarter. And I just wanted to talk to you really about how important these things are, how important it is for you to be participating. Talked a little bit when we first started talking about the goals of the congregation, and the goals are on the website, I think. But I still can't get on the website. I'm just not technical enough. But I talked to you about the idea that we had these goals, and they look scary. As Patrick and I sat down and looked at them the first time, you know, Patrick's happy about it. I'm wiping the sweat off my forehead looking at them thinking, how are we going to accomplish these things? And so we sat down and we worked them down into smaller goals, realizing that maybe the bigger goals are just not something that this congregation can accomplish right off the bat. We have probably some, what would you call them? Maybe we lack in some areas that we need to be growing in, need to be coming along in order to be the church of Christ that God would have us to be. And so we're beginning those things this summer. They may seem small to you, but they are toward an end. But I talked about the idea of a snowball. So Patrick and I have been meeting together for the last 5 months, and we've been talking about things, planning. We've been taking this snowball and packing the snow together. And we take this snowball and we lay it down at the top of the hill. And what we intend for is that snowball to start rolling down the hill and gaining momentum and building up on itself. But this little snowball doesn't yet have enough weight to do that. And so we take that little snowball and we roll it down a little bit further, and we push it down a little bit further, push it down a little bit further, hoping that eventually it begins to move under the weight of itself. And that really is you guys. It begins to be the snowball that you guys are, that we intend for the whole group to participate in and begin to be what we see in Ephesians 4. And we're going to talk about Ephesians 4 for just a couple of minutes here. One of the things that we've been blessed with in this congregation for the last couple of years is we have a lot of peace here. We all, I think, get along well. We've had trials come up, some pretty severe trials over the last couple of years, and everybody has been able to pull together as a whole to help go through those trials, help the people that are the subject of the trials, and we've learned in the middle of those trials. But we've also had peace. So what can we do? We can just sit back, enjoy the peace that we have. Things are great. Or we can use the peace that we've been blessed with to grow ourselves, to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to grow in us what he really intends for his church to be like. And so let's go to Ephesians 4 quickly. We've looked at this passage numerous times and look at what's there. Patrick and I both ran to this particular passage when we were talking originally about goals for the congregation. Patrick also threw in there Acts 2. But I want to start right here with Ephesians 4 and look at what was brought about from the beginning. We're trying to here set forth I hesitate to call them programs because I'm not really into the idea of making a program. But the idea that we're trying to set in motion some things that the congregation begins to do in order to bring about an end, in order to bring about the goals that were put forth that we believe are goals that God would have us to accomplish. And that idea really comes out in this passage, starting in verse 11, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the ministry, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I really want to stop there for just a moment, because we can look at the passage and we see four things. I'm going to say probably really three things that are pretty important. We see four different offices, four different positions that were set forth for a growing of the church. That this infant church from the beginning was going to grow into something that was much bigger. And each congregation really becomes a small picture of what the whole of the church is. So we've got four things there that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors or elders and teachers are supposed to help bring about in a congregation. And the first thing that we see there is equipping the saints. Oh no. Okay. I'm a slow writer. Equipping saints for works of ministry. And hopefully you can kind of read this, or it's kind of pointless to write it, right? Okay, for works of ministry. And the next phrase is for the edifying of the body of Christ. This works toward the edifying of the body of Christ. Is there some rule about using cursive when you're doing visuals? I don't know if there is. That would be in the teaching program, right? Okay, so body of Christ. I don't get to take that until the winter quarter. But anyways, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it goes on to say, until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. To a perfect or full-grown man. And what's that measure? What's that full-grown man? It's the measure and the stature of Christ. So all of this is to be done with the end result that this church appears to be or is a perfect man or complete, and we look like the Son of God. We look like Christ. We're up to that measure. That's the standard that we're shooting for as a congregation of His. So looking at these for just a couple of moments here, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Now, in the world today, we think of the idea of a minister or ministry as, say, we have on the door out here, we have our times of services as Church of Christ in Boise, and our minister is Roger. Okay, how often do you see that? I think the church out on Linder Road, they have minister is whoever the brother is there that's doing that. But when we think of the idea of minister, it's really not the preacher. Can you imagine we're a congregation of 70-ish people here, and our minister, the one person that actually is in service, is the one guy, Roger. Okay, if we need anything, just go to Roger, because he's the one that serves us all. But that's not what it is. We're equipping the saints for works of ministry, for works of service. Ministry means service. It's more encompassing than preaching the word. It's also taking care of things that within the congregation, it's all the things that God would even have us to do for each other. I was thinking about, and I mentioned this before, when I was in the hospital last year, the nurse came up to the room. I'd had several people in, and the nurse comes in and says, "Your minister Roger is here." Okay, well, I got kind of a kick out of it. But I was thinking, you know, there's a whole waiting room downstairs full of ministers that are mine also. Can you just send the whole crowd out? Because everyone that had come to see me in the hospital were my ministers. They were there to see how it was, take care of me, see if there were any needs or anything like that. That's the idea of ministry. And so when you are being equipped by us here, you are being equipped to serve. To serve one another in a variety of ways. And it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. So edifying, an edifice is a building. So we think of edifying as building up. Now sometimes I think we get caught up in the idea that edifying is, it makes me feel good. Okay, because a lot of times, you know what, somebody preaches a lesson, you think, I'm not edified. Well, sometimes we mean, I just don't feel good about that sermon. But the idea of edification is something that is given to you or preached to you to spur you on, to make you do something, to make you serve in the ministry. It's for building up the body of Christ, building it up to activity, really. And then the end result, the perfect man, the stature of Christ, a working congregation doing everything that Christ would be doing if he were here standing on the earth working right now. So I might actually shorten this up some. So anyways, let's look at the rest of the passage real quickly. Okay, so we've seen these things. Going on from verse 14, this is important also, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness. But speaking the truth in love, notice that, not hammer on people, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From him, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Notice that last verse. The whole body, every joint, every part, okay? Not, you know, the core group, something like that. The working part of the congregation, which a lot of times, what do they say? 10% do the work of the whole or something like that. That's not what a congregation of the Lord is supposed to be. Every joint supplies. Every part does its work. There are no spectators. When it comes to the Lord's church, there's not intended to be spectators. There's a work that each person can do, and it may not be the preacher, it may not be the something else, but there is work definitely that everyone can do. So I want to talk about, you know, three specific areas. We generally see that the church is authorized for three different works. And the first one, I think, of course, is pretty evident to most of us, the idea of benevolence. And, you know, from a money perspective, we see the church taking care of the saints in the church. That we see in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we see people selling their goods, laying the money at the apostles' feet to take care of the saints, to take care of the people in the congregation there. Later on in Acts, we see the church at Antioch pooling money together to send down to relieve the saints in Jerusalem. And then later on, we see the churches of Macedonia doing the same thing, pooling money, taking money, sending money to the church in Jerusalem to take care of the saints that are there. I got to thinking about, why is it always the Jewish Christians that always need it? But there were circumstances. Famines came, and they needed to be taken care of. And so we see that idea of benevolence. We also, I think, see something even a little bit further. Maybe we don't necessarily give money to each other. But the idea of benevolence is taking care of each other's needs as they come up. And we see that sort of thing. We've looked at the passage in Romans 12, and Roger read this recently, because there's a lot of one another stuff in there. And I just want you to look at it real quickly, Romans 12, starting at verse 3, and look at all of the things that deal with taking care of each other's needs in there. And this is talking about one another. This is talking about members of the church, probably especially members of the congregation that you're a part of. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So I'm going to stop right there with that. But there's a number of things that deal with the idea that I may have a particular gift that might be unique among the group, or you might have a particular gift that's unique among the group that can use to help the needy that's a part of the group. So when we look at this particular, at this particular group here, I think that it's okay to say that you guys are good. That you guys do this really pretty well. I don't think we do it perfectly. And we have among us, we have individuals in the congregation that are particularly good at noticing needs that come up, are not afraid to ask if we can help in various areas. And then we have, you know, probably even a larger population of people here that are willing to follow in that. Give us a call. We're willing to help. And I just want you to remember to be available as things come up for that. And I want to refer to last year again, when I came out of the hospital and was at home, that, you know, unless you've been on the receiving end of the benevolence of the congregation, I don't think you can fully know exactly how changing for you that it can be. And you know, various ones of you. I got a picture of myself, a drawing of myself in a bicycle crash. That was awesome to me. And people showed up. They came to converse with me in my drug-induced delirium. And they came to keep me company. They came to feed me. Brother came to eat lunch with me on a you know, every few days. Sisters came and fed me. Sarah got me stuck on a TV series that I had to watch the whole thing through. Each thing might have been small to you. Each thing might have not been some special gift that you have, but each thing is really special. And for me, it was a mind-changing experience. There were a lot of things going on for me at the time, and being whacked on the ground like that, and then having you all there to show me the love that you had it really has a lot to do with probably why I'm standing up here today before you. So don't ever imagine that the little thing that just means nothing doesn't mean something to somebody else. I mentioned before, various brothers here have gotten cards from some of you. Easy to sit down and write a card. And some of those guys have kept those cards. Some of those guys have those cards and they're years old. So don't imagine that this just isn't going to matter to him anyway, because it does matter. And I think maybe once you're on the receiving end, you'll really realize that those sort of things do matter. But when we think about that, even if it was Paul coming to you to say, "Church in Boise, you are just awesome at benevolence," what would Paul then say? "But you need to do it more," right? Okay, he said, "Oh, you're good at this, and you take care, and you have love for everybody, and so on and so forth. Do it more." Okay? So that's probably the thing to think about there. Some of you have not yet met with your deacons groups. The deacons groups are set up to help you guys take care of each other, pay attention to what's going on. When you meet with your deacons, you know, they'll kind of clue you in. We didn't write some manual that says everything has to be a specific way. It's kind of something that'll be figured out as it goes along. But you become a pool for your deacon if something comes up and they need help. They're going to call you. If you're not showing up, and you probably hear from Patrick and I, but you may also hear from the deacon whose group you are assigned to. What do we do sometimes? Oh, they never call me when I'm gone. I'm mad at them. Okay, but then that same, curmudgeon, when you do call them, what are they calling me for? You know, they think I never come. So when they call you, realize that they're calling you because they love you. And they want you to be here. And you might be asked to call also, give people a call. So anyways, that's the first one. The second one has to do with edification. And with most congregations, I think that this is what we usually call, isn't this what we call the teaching program? Okay, it's probably actually broader than that, but the idea of edification. And this really kind of speaks to what we are starting now in the Sunday morning class. Everyone in this congregation, not the kids, all of the adults are going to be in this class for this next quarter. The first 5 weeks, the first one this morning, Roger is teaching on teaching, the teaching program. And you are going to, he has already sent out the stuff for you to do an assignment. Please do the assignment. Don't just shine it on. There again, it's not spectators. We want you to participate in this situation. You might be an individual that says, I will never teach a class. Okay, I can give you a list of my nevers. Okay, I'm never going to do an awful lot of things. And think about the apostles, Peter, James, and John, the best friends of the Messiah when he was here. When they were out fishing the first time and Jesus shows up, do you think they ever imagined that they were going to be the best friends, the closest inner circle of the Messiah? And then when they were, did they think that they were going to martyr their lives after being with the Messiah for several years? They were probably never going to do something like that. And yet things change for them as time goes on. Paul was trained to be a Pharisee and probably was going to live the good life. He was going to become a Pharisee, was going to be exalted among his people. Very likely that he would have been wealthy. He was probably never going to be martyred. He was never going to be in a shipwreck. He was never going to be a minister of Christ. And yet things changed for him, and he became that. We have Moses. Moses, 40 to 80 years old, he's a shepherd out in the middle of the desert. And what? God comes to him and says, you're going to lead my people out of Israel. His perspective was no way. He wasn't intending on God for asking him to do that. He was probably figuring he was never going to do something so great as that. We have Joseph also. We have numerous biblical examples of people whose lives changed they had to change their perspective. So you need to use this opportunity for the next 4 weeks now, 5 weeks to prep. Even if you never teach a class, this will give you an opportunity to see what the teacher does in order to prep for class and hopefully give you maybe even a greater respect from what they expect when you're in their class. And maybe you will be a better student for that. So please do that. Patrick and I are hoping to be able to expand the teaching program. We have probably a limited number of people that actually will teach on a regular basis, and we would like to be able to expand that. Even if we can get more of you to assist in the classes, this would give us an opportunity to be able to rotate teachers out of the classrooms back there. Some of the teachers have been in those classrooms for years, and they don't typically take an adult class out here. So even using you as an assistant is going to be really important for us. And hopefully, within the next several years, hopefully you'll be able to take over some of those classes and we'll be able to spread out the load even better. So it's really important that you do participate. Kind of arranged it, not for everyone. There's a few exceptions, but most of you will be able to take the class with your spouse. Don't be afraid to work together. As soon as Debbie is done with our assignment, I'll go ahead and put my name on it and we'll say that we got it done. Actually, I'm just kidding. And she's probably thinking, no, he's not kidding. But anyways, You have opportunities like that. We have singles in here that don't have someone at home. And don't be afraid to call one of the other singles and say, hey, you know, this is a big assignment. Spur me on. Help me. And let's get together and do this. So you don't have to do it by yourself. Also, don't procrastinate. Don't wait till the last minute. That's my method. But don't do that. Do it now. Get it done. You'll feel good about it, having done it. And especially if you're getting it done ahead of time. So that's kind of important when we think about the edification or our particular teaching program. The following 8 weeks is going to be a foundations class, and it really has a lot to do with our practices, the things that we do. We intend for everybody to be kind of on the same page. Even if you disagree with some of the conclusions, you really need to know why your congregation does the things that it does. We do have numerous visitors. If we've got people that are not members of the congregation, what's a lot of times the first question? How come you don't have instruments? Well, the wrong answer is, that's just what we do here at the Church of Christ. Okay, not a good answer. You need to give them an answer as to why we don't do it. Even if you are somebody that is fine with the idea, you need to be able to tell a visitor why we, as a congregation, collective, in thought, and the things that we've decided from God's Word to do together, do not do that. And so that's the purpose of the class. Please don't come to the class with something that you studied 20 years ago and that you don't need to look at it again. You need to come with a fresh mind that you did look at the passages. Don't just skim them. It's really easy. You know, a lot of us, we've looked at it, year after year for the last, I've been a Christian for 30 years. How many times have I looked at that material? But we theoretically believe that over the years you have become smarter as a Christian, that your perspectives may have changed, and please look at the information, look at it with a new and fresh perspective, and be willing to participate in the class. If you have a question, ask Patrick. Patrick will be leading that class for the following 8 weeks. If you can't make it, if you're going to be absent, please keep up. Study and keep up. Don't just shine it on. Please go ahead and study. We want you to be consistent. Please be consistent in your attendance for class, and please participate. Please be a part of that. So, do you feel browbeaten? Some of you kind of look like, I'm not browbeating. Am I browbeating you? That's not the purpose. We really intend for everyone to be involved. In order to help accomplish the goals ultimately, this is material that we will be using for everyone that comes here and wants to place membership. We will run them through the 8 weeks that Patrick has put together. Okay, the last thing really has to do with evangelism. And we recognize this also as a work of the local congregation. And this, I think you would agree with me, is this is something that we in this congregation are not particularly good at. And I think it's for a variety of reasons. I think one reason is because a lot of us are just bashful. This congregation has a lot of bashful people. And it's just not something that we just race into or some opportunity comes up and what do I do? I don't know how to take care of this opportunity. And we want to try to make it more of a, we want to help you feel more comfortable about the knowledge that's there, about presenting the gospel of Christ. That will come up actually in the winter quarter starting in January of 2011. We have decided to do that in the midweek class. We originally wanted to do it on Sunday morning because we wanted the whole group to participate. We didn't want this also to be something that was just kind of overlooked. The reason that we chose to do it in the midweek is that everybody can, I was going to say everybody do it together, but what I mean is that everybody can do it together in the same quarter. Roger will be teaching one of the classes, Patrick will be teaching one of the classes, and I will be teaching one of the classes. We haven't put together material yet. We'll sit down and we'll compare material, put material together. It's possible that you'll get just a little bit of different flavor out of each class. But the purpose is to help you to be immersed in evangelism material. We're not going to lecture in those classes. Don't want to lecture. We want you to participate in the class. And it might include role-playing. It might include you teaching me the gospel. of Christ. But things, we want to do things in order to make you feel comfortable talking about the things that would bring somebody to the true knowledge of the Son of God and give them something to look at to become a Christian. And so we want you to be involved in that. One of the things to think about as far as evangelism go, I don't know if you think about the fact that that we do have a captive audience here of people to be evangelized, and that's with our children. You know, a lot of times maybe it's rough to go back there. You know, it's tough to teach same age group or, you know, come up with material to teach them, so on and so forth. But what are we doing? We're in reality evangelizing our children. We are giving them information that we hope that they will accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into the body of Christ. And so we need to not throw away those opportunities. We want you to teach the classes back there and have that in mind. And I've been starting to think a little bit differently about the teen lab. I'm going to do some different things this quarter for their assembly time, and then I've asked Ben to, he's going to take the next quarter to do some other things that would have to do more with their situation. Most of the kids here are in public school. Most kids here get secular teaching all the time, and that God is just not real. And so we want to try to give them more ammo, more thoughts, so that hopefully they will also become Christians. So let's use the opportunity. If you're even teaching the toddlers back there, they are potential Christians. And please, maybe this will think about how important that is, and that you really want to get in there and do that. And get them to where they will one day, you know, take the plunge, so to speak, end up in the water up here. Okay, that's actually it. So I want you to think about these things right here. You know, this is what the church is involved in: benevolence, edification, evangelism. We want to be good at that. We want to be the church of Jesus Christ. And we want to be doing the things that He would have us to do. We want to be growing. And I don't necessarily say in numbers, first of all. We want to be growing as Christians. We want to become better. We want to become more Christ-like. And with that, I believe the numbers will also grow as we begin to reach out. So when we're giving you stuff, we're not just being random. Let's just do this next quarter. We actually have purpose in mind, and it really falls into this area. We're looking at the idea of equipping every saint in the congregation for works of ministry. We're looking at edifying this church, building it up to be what the body of Christ is supposed to be, doing more than we are doing now, to a perfect man. And this is the picture of Christ. When people look at the congregation here, they should be seeing Jesus Christ working here on the earth. So if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, we offer the invitation every time we get together now. And the invitation is, assuming, looking at everybody out here, I'm thinking the ones that I know, you've heard the message of Christ. You know the gospel. You have but to believe it. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and that He was risen from the grave. You have then to repent. Change your mind about sin, and then change the way that you're going to live. And then confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized. Be plunged in the water. Be immersed in the water. Your sins are washed away. You become a part of His body. Salvation. Looking forward to heaven in the end. If you'd like to respond to the gospel, please come forward as we stand as we sing this song.